Hugh Freeze still confident Auburn ends up with a top five class.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir. We're back. Happy Wednesday. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we are ready to rock and roll this July 4th Eve episode, breaking down Hugh Freeze on the Ambush Auburn 2024 tour, dropping all kinds of good news and nuggets to digest and talk about to get us through this dead period. Still very confident that Auburn lands a top five class, and we're going to break that down shortly. Let me tell you about some other confidence you can have. That's when you check out Ford Stokes at Retirement Results, presented by Active Wealth. You can have the confidence that all the hard work that you've put in to save, to grow your wealth, will get you to the promised land. Ford Stokes can give you a custom, not a cookie cutter, not just a product. Ford Stokes can break down your plan you have currently and make sure there's no missing gaps, things like that, and help you make sure it goes the distance. Check them out, retirementresults.com/plan, and get that free portfolio analysis. He's itching. He's ready to go. He's ready to make you have a top five class. So check him out, Ford Stokes, Retirement Results. Get that free portfolio analysis. He's the man with the plan, and he's also an Auburn guy too. So show him some love. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him C5 sent you, and make a friend in the, at the same time. So Ford Stokes Retirement Results, presented by Active Wealth Management. A couple of shows ago, I talked about what Auburn has to do, what Hugh Freeze has to do to win the dead period, and he's doing that right now on the Auburn Ambush 2024 tour. It's where you go. Like I said, this is the time where you go, you meet the alumni associations around the country. You go and you talk about what the upcoming season, you talk about what the expectations, you give some, sometimes you drop some inside knowledge that a lot of people weren't aware of. And just go rally the troops. You go rally the fan groups. You go rally the money. I mean, at this point in time, that's what you got to do. Rally NIL. You don't think NIL wasn't talked about at these events, for sure. But a lot of things Hugh said, I think, were very interesting. Some of the stuff that's new that we've heard, and then some of the stuff that's kind of cool to hear him go in depth that we've talked about, we've hinted at, that possibly could end up being a big deal in the future. But right off the bat, they dive right in and ask. There was a Q&A session with some reporters and different things like that. And right off the bat, they go into recruiting. I think they were kind of leading with the aspect of, hey, it's been a little bit stagnant. You've had a couple of decommitments. Do you still feel as confident? You told us it was going to be a top five class. You told us you expected a top five class. Do you still feel that way? Do you still feel good that you can get Auburn in that magical top five range? And he said, absolutely. That's my expectation. Sometimes it's kind of hard to follow and know where you stand because everything's moving. Other schools get commitments. You get commitments. You have decommitments. There's multiple different sites out there. But said, I feel very confident. You know, he knows a lot of what's going on behind the scene that we don't know. You can just take that. He says a lot of things that could come back and bite him, but he says it with confidence that makes you feel like he's genuine when he says it. Like he truly, not only does he just, it's not just pie in the sky wishes. Like, he knows how he's going to get there. He knows what's left on the board. He knows where he stands with those guys. He knows who he feels like he can get. And don't think they haven't done the math. Don't think they haven't been on the class calculators to kind of figure out, if you land XYZ, where do you end up? And it's not that far-fetched. You were just fourth not very long ago. You had two decommitments. You dropped back right outside, either right at the top 10, right outside the top 10 in most sites. But you could pull off a big commitment to join the class back again on the 4th of July with Hollis Davidson. You turn around on Saturday. You close the deal, hopefully, with Jacoby Ward, who you feel like you've led for a very long time, a offensive lineman that you desperately want to add to this class. And then you go chalk again with the guys that you lead for, your Blake Woodby, who's got a – I think he's looking at the end of July, right around the Big Cat Weekend announcement, Anquan Fagans, same thing, right around the end of July, around Big Cat Weekend. Could be a Big Cat Weekend commit if you just go chalk there. When I say chalk, I'm just talking about guys that if you look at predictions, you look at the RPM prediction model on On3, you look at those guys and you just go, these are the guys that everybody says we lead for. If you land those guys, you're right back at the top five class. That's assuming that nobody that you're jumping adds a bunch as well, because obviously that could shake things up. But if nothing changes, you add those guys, you jump back into the top five. And heaven forbid, don't let Auburn pull off Juju Lewis. Don't let Auburn flip that kid in the next couple of weeks. Then you're talking about inside the top five, and then the domino effect that we talked about yesterday that could come from adding a kid like Juju Lewis. Top five is right there. It's not that far. You're just a handful of commitments, and you're right there at it. So no matter how bad you may feel or how much of a bad taste you may have about how things have gone the last, I don't know, 8 to 10 days or so how bad it's gone in perception-wise since the Alvin Henderson commitment. No matter how bad you feel, Hugh Freeze is still supremely confident. And you don't have to say the things like that. You don't have to say, I think it'll be a top five class. You could just say, I think we're going to have a really good class. But you could be as vague as that. He specifically said top five. So he may say it's hard to follow where things stand, and I don't know where we stand. That's the one thing I know. I know he knows where we stand, and I know that he knows how to get there. And when you say things like that, it just shows you're paying attention. You know it's important. You know it's important for publicity. You know it's important for building this program. You know it's important to get Auburn to be able to compete at the top level. You know top five classes, top six classes are where you have to be. And they can't just be top six paper tigers. They got to be top six filling positions of needs like you've done this past class, which is loaded, which we talked about several of the guys already. You got to continue to fill it top to bottom. You got a really good offensive line class. Can you push off, finish it off? You got a good base to a defensive line class. Can you push, finish it off? You got a good base to the defensive back class. Can you push and finish it off? You got a good running back. Can you get your big back to go with him? And so on and so forth. You're filling needs. It's not just landing a bunch of positions that you don't need. Your highest ranked players aren't just a bunch of positions you don't need. It's a very balanced class top to bottom, and you need to continue to pull those off. So that's got to get you fired up. Your coach is out there and he's giving specifics. He's not giving generalities. He's giving specifics. He is supremely confident. And that gets me back jacked up. Even if my boog started to wane a little bit, downtime, your boog starts to wane a little bit, you hear stuff like that, it gets you fired back up. You know, some big things are on the horizon. We'll talk about some of those in the future. But it could start on Thursday. It could start tomorrow on the 4th of July. You could have some fireworks with hopefully Hollis Davidson jumping back in this class and being your next big pass catching tight end threat. And we'll talk about that obviously as well if it does become official. One of the more sad things I think that he talked about was a little bit, they obviously asked him about the health of the team and injuries and stuff like that. Tyler Scott, up and coming young DB, great story, tough kid, tears his ACL in a workout. He's going to be out for the year. This was a year he's really going to be able to push for a spot. You hope that it's not one of those really, really bad tears that he can't come back full speed. I think this kid is determined. Like I said, he's got a great story. And I think if it's not something incredibly serious, I would imagine him to bounce back pretty quickly, but not going to be this year. He's going to be out for the remainder of the season. And it's tough. You lose Colton Hood. Now you lose Tyler Scott, and that pretty deep defensive back class is starting to, obviously dwindle down. I still think you got a bunch of good options back there, but still, you keep losing these guys, and then the depth, that's how fast depth can just disappear. That's how fast it just can just fade away. So going to be thinking about him. I know it's going to be tough for him at least over the next 2 or 3 months before he has his surgery, gets back in rehab, before he can really get back running again. It's going to be tough. So sad. We had kind of heard rumors of this, but Hugh went ahead and confirmed it. The biggest news, injury news, and, this could have been super debilitating. And it's still pretty tough, is Alec McPherson, our stud kicker, who's missed one field goal in 2 years, and it was over 50 yards. He's never missed an extra point, and in 2 years, he's missed one field goal, and again, it was over 50 yards. Has some sort of freak medical issue. I did a little bit of digging, and it looks like I don't want to go into too much specifics, but the issue that he had caused him to lose a ton of weight and strength in a very short period of time. So Hugh said he expects him to be able to play at some point in time, but I don't think by the beginning of the year, it might be short of a miracle that Alex McPherson is ready to go game one. And if you don't add the man, the myth, the legend, Towns Magoo, 7 for 7 at A-Day, 60-yard howitzer leg, bazooka leg, walk-on, shoved it right up Lane Kiffin's after he popped off on Twitter saying that, trying to throw some shade at Hugh Freeze. If you don't land Towns Magoo, you are in a world of hurt right now. Not only are you hurting for Alex, but you don't have a kicker. Not only do you not have a kicker, you lose your kicker who was perfect on the year. Last season, he was 13 of 13 field goals. 1 of 1 from 50 plus. He had a 53 yarder, 40 of 40 on extra points. Dude never missed a field goal. Got robbed, in my opinion, of the Lou Groza, robbed of any postseason awards. But again, over 2 years, you only missed one field goal. That's a huge, huge loss. But you saw the need of keeping the hometown kid, hometown. And boy, oh boy, did that end up paying off, because I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure that Towns may not be – it's hard to imagine that someone can be better than perfect. it's hard to imagine that's a thing. But I'm not going to say better, but as good. It's like you may not see any drop-off whatsoever because you added this kid late. You pulled off this feat of keeping him from going to Ole Miss, who had been on him a lot longer, and you bring him in. And he was obviously a star in spring. Honestly, Cam Coleman was great, but in my opinion, Towns stole the show. Towns Magoo stole the show. So sad news, losing Tyler Scott for the year. Not sure how long Alex McPherson's going to be down, but holy cow. Holy cow, how lucky were we to stick it to Lane and keep Towns Magoo home. And on this Auburn Tigers football team, you're probably looking at a red shirt this year, and now he's going to be thrown into the fire, ready to go. Thank goodness he's got that bazooka leg ready to kick off, ready to kick field goals. So got to keep him healthy. Got to keep him very healthy. So that'll be interesting to watch. See how reports come out of fall camp. I feel like Towns is in great shape. He's obviously smooth. He's obviously ice water in his veins, unfazed. He'll be ready to go. Pressure pack kicks. He seems like he's kind of built for that. So Sad news, but thank goodness we pulled off the what we did. And then the last thing that Hugh talked about, not the last thing, but one of the things that he talked about that I thought was very interesting was they commented on the new rule that if it hasn't passed fully, it's about to pass, of essentially making off-field staff on-field staff. So the assistants that are quote unquote off the field coaches, this rule will make it to where you can have unlimited on the field coaches. So instead of being assistants to the coach, you now have multiple coaches that can instruct, call, in theory, maybe call plays, call out coverages, things like that on game day. One-on-one instruction and not just being a messenger relay. That rule passes, and I am so intrigued by this rule because it really, really opens up a ton of possibilities, You just added a coach, I think his name's TJ Rushing, which was DJ Durkin's on-the-field defensive backs coach at Texas A&M, who, if you look up his recruiting profile, is just an absolute stud, just five-star, four-star. He's going to be an assistant. He's going to be an assistant DB coach, not the DB coach. That's the caliber of guys. If Hugh said it, I feel like my off-the-field guys are elite. You know, I feel like my off-the-field staff could be position coaches elsewhere, on-field staff elsewhere. And it's so awesome now that those guys get to give one-on-one instruction. He said, I got 125 players on this team. 125 players when you got scholarships and walk-ons. He said, and the idea that kids can transfer nowadays and you're only got your 10 plus your head coach and then your 10 other position coaches that are allowed to instruct and connect with these kids, that's tough. That's tough. And now you want as many of these coaches that are able to work one-on-one with these kids as possible. And now this rule, it makes sense. It opens up the opportunity for it gives so many opportunities for bonds to be made, to be grown between player and coach, and just make things a whole lot easier. Just an example of last year, okay? Tanner Burns, the special teams coach. Remember, before you had the whole debacle where Crime Dog stepped down off the field, Tanner Burns was an off-the-field coach, even though he was the special teams coordinator, because they were sort of – this rule was supposed to pass last year, and it didn't. It was supposed to pass last year, but for whatever reason, it didn't make it through. So he's a special teams coach, but he can't call plays. When he's an off-the-field coach, he can't call plays. So in the games, Tanner Burns was having to relay the play call to Hugh Freeze, who would then call the special teams play and still be the head coach. And now Tanner Burns can just do that. He can still be an off-the-field. He can be an assistant and not be on the road recruiting, but he can be a play caller on game day now. It can be no loss of message now, if there ever was. No possibility of miscommunication, because he's going to be able to directly call plays, call what type of kickoffs, where to angle it, where to kick it, what punt coverage. He's able to call everything now in game. You don't have to platoon that out to other coaches for Tanner to relay that to. Now he's going to be able to call it on the play. It's like that for everybody, but Auburn, I feel like Hugh has done an incredible job of building up, not just having just scrubs and GAs in those positions. You got really talented young coaches in those positions. And another thing that I'm anxious to see, because I can kind of see it, maybe college football the way it is right now, moving this way, okay? So you can have unlimited coaches right now, basically, as far as on-the-field coaches, but you still are limited to the recruiters, off-campus recruiters, guys that can go out and evaluate, guys that can go out and go do in-homes, guys that can go out and go to schools and things that go watch football games. You have to declare who those are before, you know, the recruiting season starts. So there could be a world eventually where an off-the-field assistant is declared the recruiter and the true DB coach, the true linebacker coach, may get parked, okay? May get parked off the field. So you could have your seasoned, older technicians that a lot of times will leave in their 50s to the NFL. Now you have the ability to possibly keep those guys at the collegiate level, where you got a section of the staff now who is, you can go hire those guys that may not have the charisma to be able to recruit off campus, but they're unbelievable developers, unbelievable position coaches, huge track record of development. You maybe could go entice some NFL guys to come back to college now and fill that role and say, hey, now with the way this thing's set up, it's very beneficial to have a technician coach that maybe doesn't have to carry the burden of going off the field and recruiting. And you can have that, the recruiting be sort of like the young up and coming coach's position, where they're sort of the assistant offensive line coach, but they're the designated recruiter because they're young, they're fiery, they want to get after it. And they're going to be given the board of guys to go get, and then they know how to go get them. I mean, there's so many different aspects that I'm so intrigued by this rule change. I think it's going to be so beneficial for the collegiate game in general to make college coaching a little bit more attractive. You know, you don't lose, like you said, you don't lose those guys to the NFL that get burnt out. I mean, it is. When you throw in the portal, you throw in the NIL, it's easy to see coaches are bailing left and right. Bailing left and right. Hey, let me get to the NFL. This is just too much. Well, now you could see the possibility that this new rule could usher in a new era of how to manage your coaching staffs and the new era of how those designs are set up. And I'm very intrigued. And Hugh is obviously very excited about this rule change and how it could affect this Auburn team. So be on the lookout. This ain't the last stop. I think they're going to Houston, Texas next. They're going to be going a couple more stops before they get back. Bruce Pearl was on these trips as well. They were at Lake Martin in Alexander City, I think either this evening or last night, last evening. It can't be tonight, since because we're the night hasn't happened yet. So last night, at the Lake Martin Auburn Club, the Ambush Tour. You're going to hear a lot more sound bites, a lot more stuff, a lot more good questions to be asked. And these are the kind of things that you have to do to win the dead period and get ready to make that charge towards Big Cat Weekend. So tomorrow, 4th of July, we're going to have another show. We're going to be getting after it. Hopefully tomorrow we're celebrating some good news on the recruiting trail. And when it does, we'll obviously talk about it. And I could have a big guest on Friday that may be a little bit more involved moving forward that I think you're going to enjoy, have a cool perspective. We'll see. I'm trying to nail that one down because I think it could be a lot of fun. So again, I really appreciate it. Happy Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Like this video. Subscribe to this channel. Follow me on Twitter. Get at me in the comments. Just let's just take the gloves off and get after it. If you don't agree with me, if you think recruiting's in the tank, let's just duke it out. Let's just get after it. And if you want to tell me you like the show and you just want to say War Eagle, I'll say it back and we can be friends. So again, I really appreciate it. Thank y'all for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow. And if you're on the lake, you're on the beach, hopefully you got something fun to pop in and listen to while you take a cold beverage and celebrate freedom. Celebrate freedom and celebrate America. So again, thanks again for listening. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay Bud.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.